Smashville, good morning, and thank you for joining us. Welcome into Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the Ford Ice Center here on this Wednesday. It is great to have you in. Good one last night as the Preds take care of business in a payback game, a revenge game against the Detroit Red Wings. They win 3-2 last night. And as we said yesterday, coming off of the win at home, all is well on the Western Front. Braden Gall. Today, I think everything is all good in Predsland.
Yeah, and in some sticky moments last night for sure as they get up to a 2-0 lead in the first period. And that was as good a passing period of the puck as I've seen the Nashville Predators play the entire game, and so or the entire season. So midway through the second period, I'm about to tweet. You know how you have like first half Twitter in football? Don't tweet during the first half. I'm about to send out a tweet. This is the best passing game I've seen the Preds play all season. And then, like 5 minutes into the second period, I was like, "Oh, this isn't. That's not true anymore." So I had to back off because it was a game of two periods. They were up 2-0 in the first, going, "All right, this is going to be a beer game. They're going to win 5-0." The offensive pressure, the execution was pristine. And then the second period, give the Detroit Red Wings a lot of credit. I think they really changed their energy levels and had a really nice game plan in the second period. Executed, got themselves back into the game, and it was really nip and tuck from then on. Very evenly matched hockey game. In fact, you could argue Detroit outplayed them the last 35, 40 minutes. Arvidsson gets finishes on his one opportunity. And, of course, he takes a 3-1 lead. That leads to the 3-2 ends up where it is. UC Saros, to me, was the star of the show, and he was the first star last night. Saros was fantastic and had a lot of high-danger chances, as they say. The Preds defense did not play a good game last night. Bottom line, Preds defense, not good. UC Saros bailed them out. They get 2 points.
No, that's true. And I'm very happy that the Flyers made that trade with Detroit because the goaltender that they traded for, was it Mrazek, I believe his name is?
Yes.
Yeah, he is 6-0 lifetime against the Preds. So you get Jimmy Howard last night, and then the Predators take advantage of him early. You could probably say that was one of the best quarters you've seen, or best periods you've seen from the Preds probably all season long. And then obviously you had Saros in net last night. And is it wrong for me to admit right now that Victor Arvidsson is becoming a quick man crush for me?
Well,
it's my middle name, by the way.
No,
Victor,
that's not hard to understand at all. I mean, part of the reason, especially for a guy new to the market, it doesn't maybe follow Victor Arvidsson and see his career as closely as a normal fan, like sort of living in the city. Arvidsson is the name that everybody in the city, when you started two years ago at the end of his sort of first full season, people started looking at it, and the kids in this market started picking out Victor Arvidsson first. It was sort of Arvi Hussle and the way he plays. I think it's also the same reason that Ryan Ellis is so popular. There's just this grinded out effort sort of thing, and that's why his nickname's Arvi Hussle. And so, for someone new to the market to pick it up as quickly as you have, I would say that's pretty standard. This is why he's so popular. This is why he's such a fan favorite. Is that there's just an energy level to him that nobody else really exudes. And we'll hear from Laviolette talking about Jofa coming up next segment, but. There was a big debate about, is Victor Arvidsson's 31 goals last year a function of playing on a Jofa line with Forsberg and Johansson, or is he really that talented and that good because he's so undersized and he does it so much with effort? I think we're starting to see that you know, Ryan Johansson has not particularly had a great season and created a ton of offense for Victor Arvidsson. Victor Arvidsson still is on pace to get to where he was last year in the goal total. So I think we're starting to see that it's just as much Victor Arvidsson as it was anybody else. And that he was worth the $4 million plus he got in his contract per year in the offseason.
Yeah, and I just really liked, you know, the energy they came out with last night. You know, they were getting pucks on net. They were having a lot of traffic in front of the net. And then Hartsey obviously had that little putback where it didn't even look like he even realized that he knocked it in. I think it went off his skate.
Off his skate, yeah.
So, I mean, just kind of really, you know, attacking and getting that quick lead. It's something that we haven't seen a lot of, really, at least I haven't seen a lot of in the 3-plus weeks I've been here.
No, seven. It was that seven-game stretch where they trailed in every single game, and five of those, I think they had double, you know, multiple goal deficits. And when you're playing overtime games every single night and chasing from behind, you're using a lot of energy. And when this team is sort of on the forecheck, being aggressive, sort of commanding the style of the play, and sort of dictating the tempo and all that kind of stuff, all those sports cliches, When they do that, because they get out to a big, they get out to an early lead, that is when they are at their best, because they can suffocate you with their offensive pressure. And last night, normally that offensive pressure comes with really strong, disciplined, you know, high level defense. That was not the case last night. Yosi, PK Subban, I mean, you name it, not a great game for the defense core last night. That's going to happen. It's not a crazy big problem. No one's really worried about the defense, so it wasn't a big deal. But PK Subban had, I think, in the second period, had three or four own zone turnovers. Yosi didn't play a particularly great game on defense. They gave up way too many high danger chances, and UC Saros saved their bacon.
And they've got a very big stretch coming up here, because you're going to get San Jose, you're going to get St. Louis, you're going to get Winnipeg for the next three games, two of which are at home. And obviously, San Jose is a good team. I feel like it's been a while since they've actually played each other. That'll be on Thursday night. And then you get the nationally televised game coming up, Sunday at noon.
Yeah.
On NBC. And then
Doc Emmerich in the house.
So you've got three really big ones.
He might be the best. And really, if you want to draw out that schedule conversation, there's actually a massive chunk of Central Division games coming up. That's really what's going to define this season. There's a home and home with Minnesota coming up in a couple of weeks. You've got a couple of games with Colorado and Winnipeg. And there's a lot of Central Division games coming up over the next 10 or 12 games. And that's really where I think that's really what's going to figure out the Central Division standings. I mean, we've got this month and a half to go in the season, and the Preds are playing a lot of games in the division, and it's all right there for you to take. You're in first place. You held off Winnipeg last night. You picked up 2 points. Oh, by the way, the weirdest stat in the entire thing, that was Lavi's first win against Detroit as a Predators coach. That's just ridiculous. Isn't he now 1-5-1 against the Red Wings? Like, just could not beat this team.
It's hard to believe, but that's
crazy.
Right.
Yeah, because this is not a good Detroit team over the last 4 years. Like, as it compares to where Detroit was the first 16 years before that.
You know, it's funny, too. We talk about, you know, this team and looking at small little sample sizes and pockets in the schedule. Does the next three games have any impact as to what they decide to do before the February 26th deadline?
I think it's more about, and maybe we can get into this maybe a little deeper after the break, but I think it's more about waiting and watching and seeing what everybody else does. I think that's really where everybody is right now. I think Dallas, Winnipeg, even maybe Vegas to some extent. There's a lot of Western Conference teams that I think are all sitting there like with the phone, like with their hand over the phone, like just waiting for someone else to like, oh, Dallas just acquired Radulov.
It's like you're waiting for that person to text you, so you're just holding the phone.
Yeah, like, and what you're doing is it's really just like everyone's trying to wait each other out. Because the longer they wait, I don't know if the price is going up or the price is going down right now in negotiations, but if Dallas all of a sudden today, if it comes out today at some point that that Rick Nash is going to play in Dallas, then all of a sudden, does that change the way David Poile views the division? Does that change the way, if does Winnipeg make a different move at that point? Does St. Louis make a different move? But all of those teams are sitting there going, like, they're all just like side-eyeing everybody else in the division, like, well, what is that guy doing? And I think it's more about, like, the Preds are in a position to win the division, whether they win two of these games or one of these games or all three of these games. So I don't know if it's the games per se that dictate what David Poile does. I think it's more about what the other teams around him do. And the more and more, listen, we've talked about this ad nauseum. I just watched this team play with Sissons and what's going to probably be Fisher on the final line with Austin Watson. They've got that fourth line that can grind it out and be physical. Watson and Fisher can score a goal every now and then. Sissons is great in this face-off circle. They've got the center depth. They've got defense core. They've got the goaltending. They've got some high-level offensive players that when they get hot and go on a tear, maybe we're seeing the start of a Kyle Turris run as he gets a goal last night. This team's got all the pieces. It's got every piece it needs to win two more games this year in the postseason. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but they've got all the pieces. I'm leaning more and more every day towards just stay where you are. Let Evander Kane go to Dallas and ruin that locker room. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're in a good spot right now.
615-737-1025 is the number. 615-737-1025. Of course, you can follow us and tweet us at 1025_MD. It is Morning Drive. Nick Cale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason will be here in a little bit. Chase McCabe. We are broadcasting live from the Ford Ice Center. And our man Josh back in the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc., Mount Juliet. We're going to get to Peter Laviolette. Take a listen to the coach on the other side when we come back. Some very interesting stuff that he had to say in regards to the Jaffa line. We'll do that when we come back. It's Morning Drive right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I want to talk to you guys about internet and mobile. What if you guys could get both services for the price of one? Now you can with Xfinity. Get the best in-home Wi-Fi experience with Xfinity XFi. It's the coverage and control you want now with even faster speed for better streaming, faster downloading, and more gaming. I was using it last night on my iPad watching on the Xfinity app while I was watching the Preds get a W. Plus, when you add Xfinity Mobile, you can keep the whole family connected for less with up to 5 lines of unlimited nationwide talk and text. It's included with your internet, so all you pay for is data. Internet and mobile, it's 2 great services now together for an amazingly low price only with Xfinity. Get started with Xfinity Internet for only $19.99 a month for a year with a 1-year agreement. It includes up to 5 lines of Xfinity Mobile. Plus, ask how you can get a $100 prepaid card by adding one of our video services as well. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Offer ends 3/21/18, requires EcoBill and AutoPay enrollment without EcoBill and AutoPay enrollment. Monthly charge automatically increases by $5. Restrictions apply. New performance internet customers only. Early termination fees apply. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change after term agreement. Regular rates apply.
Welcome back in. It is Morning Drive here on this Wednesday. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nikhail, Braden Gall. Derek Mason's coming up in a little bit. Chase McCabe, we're with you live from the Ford Ice Center here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll get back into some of the discussion in just a moment with our stupid poll question of the day because we totally forgot to get to it at the end of the first segment. But we do.
As is tradition. Yeah.
Chase McCabe will get on us eventually. He'll start yelling
at us. I think it's the other way around.
Us in the right direction.
It's the other way around. Chase is supposed to have the poll question in the first period.
Is it?
The first segment. And many times he is busy and frequently forgets the poll question.
That's true. That's very true. Let's get to Peter Laviolette, though, because he had some interesting things to say after the game last night. Take a listen to the head coach. How are we feeling about the last 2 games and this team and the Jaffa line going in the right direction?
I really like your games, the last 2 games. You got to remember, Phil's missed a lot of time, for 10, 11 games with the injury and then coming back, playing a couple games, then missing 3 more. You can really get out of sync at that point. And, I think the last 2 games are really good steps in the right direction for that line. I thought Philip played really well the last 2 games. So they're generating a lot more strong in the offensive zone. Line that you can count on for 200 feet, but you're really starting to notice them more.
And that was Peter Laviolette last night. I got to tell you, I don't know if there's a more exciting group of players than that line right now in the entire league. Am I getting too carried away?
Yeah. I mean, I would say, Connor McDavid's line. There's a handful of lines in the NFL. Not many, but the point is it's one of the best. And I think when they are playing at their best, that is when this team – and so over the last 4 games, even Ryan Johansson has a goal over the last 4 games. Even Ryan has picked up a goal. Arvidsson, of course, 3 goals in his last 3 games. Forsberg is capable of these ridiculous tears, and even Lavi said it there. You're starting to see him – you have to remember he missed a bunch of time. And then he had the suspension on top of it, so only had like the 2 games back, so he's really starting to get back into form. And to be honest with you, I think Ryan Ellis – it took him a couple – he was so good in the first couple of games, we forget that there's another gear to his game. And even Ryan Ellis, I think, is playing – starting to reach sort of Brigadier General levels of Ryan Ellis' performance. I think Jaffa is – it's almost overlooked and assumed that we think they're just going to be this great group. They have not had the same season this year as they've had last year, but it's starting to look like it. Ryan Johansson has played with a little bit extra juice in the last couple of games, which I want to see out of him. He, to me, is the difference maker for this team. They win a cup. If they're going to win a cup, it's going to be because their number one $8 million a year centerman is busting it on every shift, and it's starting to look – he's playing with a little bit more physicality. Arvidsson's obviously getting some pucks on net. He had the 9 shots on goal the other night. So I think, we talk a lot about secondary scoring and the backup goaltender and, like, who's going to be the third defense pairing and, like, all these other things that lead – that are depth questions about winning a cup. You sort of sometimes forget that for this team to win a cup, Pekka Rinne has to be great, the core 4 on defense have to be great, and Jaffa has to be great. You cannot win a cup and go deep in the postseason without those 3 pieces playing at their highest level. And I'm not sure we've seen that all season. As good as this team has been, I'm not sure you could say that all 3 of those groups have played really great hockey all at the same time for long stretches of time. Some of that's because Forsberg is out or injured and, you know, whatever. I think Peck has been the one constant the entire season. But when Jofa gets back to being what they were at the end of the season last year, and if that's what we're starting to see now, that's where this team becomes extremely dangerous and you start feeling even more confident about their ability to go deep in the postseason.
Preds fans, don't miss Smashville Live tonight at Tin Roof on Broadway, presented by Decorating Den and Red Spirits and Wine. On this week's exclusive Preds Player Show, Preds player Roman Josi will join host Braden
Gall. Wait, don't gloss over that. Who?
Roman Josi.
Yeah. The captain will be there tonight, folks. That deserves extra oomph.
Oh, my apologies.
Yeah, extra
okay.
Oomph.
Roman Josi will be there tonight with Braden Gall and Hal Gill. So come on out to Tin Roof on Broadway Wednesday and meet the guys and have a great time.
Do not look directly at the Roman Josi. I can't. I'm not going to be responsible if you are blind when you walk away because he's just too handsome. It's unnerving.
Captain Josi.
It's unnerving to stand next to him and talk to him. I'm not going to lie.
So is that like your man crush?
No, it's not. It's just he's just too good looking to be like near and close. And like if you look directly, he looks you right in the eyes when he talks to you. And like when you look at him, you've got to look away because it's too much.
Okay.
Too much handsome.
I have to admit this on the air. Whenever I interview him, and he does, he holds on to every word. He listens. But he looks you right in the eye, and it is very intimidating.
So his eyes—I
will never be that good looking.
His hair is always like all fancy and handsomely coiffed, and he's all like just—he's just.
So his eyes just kind of pierce through your soul as you're interviewing him. Is what you're telling us?
Yes.
I'm just saying that he is unnervingly good looking. I feel bad being around him because then I know how not good looking I am. Because
I know how ugly I am.
You don't want to be around Roman Josi when other people are looking at you. You just don't. And, oh, by the way, like Chase said, he's the kind of guy that's, like, genuinely listening to everything you have to say. So I'm going to ask him questions tonight. He's going to be listening, and he's going to care about everything I have to say. He's going to give great answers for the Predators audience, and I'm going to be very off. I'm going to be very off kilter tonight.
But see, that's a good thing, though, because you want the athlete that's actually really locked in and dialed into what you're saying to him and what you're asking of him and giving
that means
a
I
good
can't say
answer.
Anything stupid then.
Well,
that's
true.
The problem, and I do that a lot.
The last thing you want is a guy that's like checked out, like, giving the cliched answers.
Of course.
He'll do his little eyebrow raise when you're asking.
You just can't.
Is it the people's eyebrow?
No. Well, he does both. He's like.
Nick, you just haven't had a chance to be close with him in any situation, which is sort of a perk of the job. For us and get to know these guys and be around these guys. But, man, when I talked to him at his captaincy thing, I literally texted my wife and I was like, I just talked to the new captain of the Nashville Predators and it was unnerving how good-looking he was. And, like, my wife's in a meeting with, like, a bunch of corporate people and she's, like, reading off my text messages to other people in her office. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, do you have my back or what?
It's between you and I.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, you will share things on the radio.
That's
so
true.
I think
I did tell everybody in Nashville that my wife had a warrant out for arrest yesterday.
Yeah.
I told her, though. I went home and told her. So
Would you take out Roman for rabbit sliders on a Saturday evening?
Sure. Whatever Roman wants.
He's usually busy.
You took me out, so I'm just.
I'm an easy date with Roman Josi. I'll do whatever he wants.
615-737-1025. Let's get to the stupid poll question of the day, Josh.
Now, the stupid poll question of the day.
All right, so we got a couple of options here, and I'm not really sure which way you want to go. I know, Braden, you had mentioned a couple of things. Chase was. I don't know what Chase was doing. He's just kind of looking at his iPhone, you know, figuring things out. But
I'm just thinking about Roman Josi.
This is Chase's job, though.
Yeah, this is kind of some.
Tell me what
these
my
little,
job is.
You know, these little goofy segments are really meant to put.
We want to showcase your poll question
creativity on display. So I will say we've got a couple of options. One is we were talking yesterday before we decided on the draft beer versus bottle beer. The debit card, when you put it in, is it slide or chip as far as accessibility and ease of – because you were really concerned about the safety
of
the
feature. Well, there's a reason there's a chip in a card.
Right.
And because it's way more secure for your information. So
are we going chip?
I don't think that's overthinking it because I'm going to take the security with my information 100 times out
of 100. But you overthink a lot of things.
I do, but that's – this
is not –
You're
a deep thinker.
This is not over
– That's not a shot at you.
No.
You're just a bright guy.
It can be a shot, though.
Thank you, guys. But this is the problem. When I ask someone, do you want the extra 5 seconds of your day or all of your information secure? And you say, I want the extra 5 seconds. That makes you an uninformed voter in this poll question.
I just feel like it was
makes you an idiot.
Life was easier when we swiped.
Yeah, right. And then someone stole all your data and stole your identity.
Well, no, see,
and
that's never happened to me, so it doesn't mean much to me.
Well, hundreds of thousands of people in this country have that happen
to them all the
time.
Tomorrow you will tell a story.
Well,
it's not a matter of if this will happen to you people, it's a matter of when it happens to you. Because everyone's data will be stolen.
So are we deciding, have we gone final with it?
I like it. I mean, okay. It's created debate, controversy.
I am in protest of this poll question.
So how do we word the poll question?
Which is better, the chip card or the swipe card?
Okay. There it is.
I don't think the voters are going to be fully informed on this issue, as is the case normally.
that's exactly what we do.
Okay, now, wait. We have a late addition from
no.
Josh. Josh has a late addition. And this,
whoa, Josh is contributing to the show
this
now?
This could be good. Would you rather be able to play hockey like Roman Josi or look like Roman Josi?
Ooh, that actually is really, really
good. I like
good.
That. You know what? I like that.
Yeah, we're
going to
go with
that.
Scrap
the debit card thing. Get rid of that. We talked about that yesterday. So at 1025 underscore MD is the Twitter poll, at 1025 underscore MD for Morning Drive. You can vote.
I got my answer, but we'll do it after the break.
Would you rather look like
settled.
Roman Josi or play hockey like Roman Josi? 615-737-1025.
This is a very easy one for me.
This is an easy one for me as well.
We'll get into that on the other side. But more importantly, Louisville has to vacate their national title. Do we care about vacating things? That's coming up next. 615-737-1025. It is Morning Drive. We are live broadcasting from the Fordyce Center right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll get into the discussion about whether or not we care if Louisville has to vacate their national title and if those accomplishments will live on. 615-737-1025. But let's kind of wrap up some of the Preds talk and also our poll question. Let's get a couple of calls in here and say good morning, first of all, to Justin in Greenbrier, who's up first on Morning Drive. What's happening, Justin?
What's up, guys? I've called before. You probably remember me. I have to say one thing, Carolina Hurricanes. Yeah, it's me. I'm back. I have a couple questions. Well, one, I want to make a statement. When the Preds play like with relentless pressure, they're like, to me, unbeatable. But I know it's a long season, so they probably, I'm not saying they don't give 100% energy, but you know, when somebody's coming back at you with the same relentless energy, then the puck falls where it may. But when's Mike Fisher coming back?
March, early March is the target time. We're talking, you know, mid to late next week. So it's not too far away. We're, you know.
That's just
I'm looking forward to it. I want to see how these lines gel right before the playoffs. And I just want to see, you know, I the last two games, I just love the way they've been playing. And I know it's a long season, so they're going to have some lulls. But this team looks like it's like, they're about to catch up with Vegas in the polls, it looks like, and for the number one seed. And I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Fish, let's just hypothetically, comes back on March 1st, which is a Thursday against Edmonton. And listen, David Poile said early March. Fisher said early March. I mean, they're all saying early March. It's not a specific date. But let's just say hypothetically March 1st. That still gives them almost, what, 15, 18, 20 games? I mean, there's still plenty of games in there.
Of course.
For them to gel. And so I'm not, and the guy that knows this locker room inside and out, I'm just not worried about the amount of time. I think you could throw Fisher in there two games before the regular season and then you'd be fine.
And let's say this too. He's been around the team since he announced, well, even before he announced
he was coming back. He was at morning skate
right.
too. And
he's skating. He's practicing. He's around things. I don't know if he's traveling yet, but he has been around this team. So it's not like he would just, you know, walk in, sign a contract, and be ready to play. So
sure.
I think that they're being smart about it. It's looking like he'll probably have about a month or so to play before they get to the playoffs. So
yeah.
I think
he'll have
be
plenty
perfect.
Of time to get the cobwebs out and shake off the rust.
16 games in March. So if you played the entire month of March, you'd have plenty of time, and then another four in April. So you're talking 20 games if he comes back on March 1st, let's say, or 18 games if he comes back on, you know, March 4th, whatever it is. There's plenty of time there. So I'm not too worried about a guy that knows this locker room like the back of his hand.
615-737-1025. Let's say good morning to Scott in Mount Pleasant. Scott, you're up next on Morning Drive.
Hey, man, I love y'all's show, love the spreads. I was going to weigh in on your stupid poll question, though. Here I am almost 50 years old, you know, got a wife, several children. Man, I want to play hockey like him because, I don't have the time to put up with all the extra questions that my wife's going to ask me about where I'm at, what I'm doing. I don't want to look in the shadows for Chase McCabe to come out and try to, you know, attack on me or anything. So I just want to continue and be able to play hockey, man. I want to be able to teach my kids how to play the sport. So,
So this was my – thank you for the call, Scott. That's a great start to our poll question debate here, which I cannot decide on this because my first instinct when you asked that question last segment, guys, was, well, of course I want to look like Roman Josi because your looks never fade, really. Like, you get older, you get more distinguished, you know, whatever. You got 75 years to look like Roman Josi. If you play like Roman Josi, you maybe get, like, 15 years of, like, being that elite-level athlete because eventually your talent goes away, you get older, and you can't play hockey anymore. But – I have a question. Do I get the contracts that he makes from having that amount of skill?
You only want the compensation.
If I want the money, if I get the money, millions of dollars, because I can play like Roman Josi, I might. It doesn't matter what you look like at that point.
And also,
you're making millions of dollars. You can do whatever you want.
Mention what you said during the break, because you said something along the lines of, "Well, I've already lived 35 years as a relatively handsome guy."
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
Not what I said.
Yes, you did.
Ask my wife about what she thinks about that. No, I just think – that's not a factor in this poll question for me. I think it's do you want 75 years of looking really, 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 really good, really ridiculously good looking, but maybe have no idea what you make financially, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you look – just because you're a gorgeous human being doesn't mean you're going to make a bunch of money and be financially secure. If I play hockey like Roman Josi, I could look like the troll under the bridge – and I'm still going to make millions of dollars if I can play like Roman Josi. So I'm sort of switching from give me a lifetime of good looks to I want the 15 years worth of millions of dollars of contracts. I'm leaning towards give me the hockey, give me the ability to play, and give me the contracts that go along with that. That sets me up for the rest of my life. It doesn't matter what I look like at that point.
Yeah, and plus also, if you are a star NHL player and you make a ton of money, even if you are ugly, you're going to do fine with the ladies.
You're doing fine.
You're doing fine.
I'm going that direction on this. I voted for a play like Roman Josi because I want the contracts.
Let me split hairs here.
Yeah, basically.
Just get Roman Yossi's hair? I don't need the facial features, but as you can see, I'm running out of real estate on top.
Yeah. It's literally splitting hairs.
Literally. I mean, yeah.
That's a third option on the poll question?
That's the other option. I was like, that's the option.
Is that the write-in?
Would you take his looks then? Would you rather look like him or play like him? Those are the two options. Josh, Josh, excellent job coming up with the poll questions.
Nick, I cannot believe that you would disrespect Roman Yossi's face so much that you would say you only want his hair. Who are you?
Kareem
Garcia?
It's not a knock against his face. It's just I'm okay with my facial features. It's just that I'm running out of hair on top, and, you know, it's just kind of something that bothers me a little bit.
Well, so again, would you rather look like Roman Yossi the rest of your life or play hockey like Roman Yossi the rest of your life? Starting from the beginning. And I'm taking the contracts.
Give me his looks.
That's fair. I can't argue. Yeah. Can't argue with either one of those.
But that's no disrespect to my man crush, options. Victor Arvidsson, just so we know. 615-737-1025. All right, so Louisville has to vacate their national title. I want to get people's thoughts on this, whether you are a Louisville basketball fan or just a fan of really – maybe you're a Fab Five Michigan team fan from 25 years ago.
Reggie Bush.
They love Reggie Bush 12 years ago, all that stuff. They have to vacate this title. What Rick Pitino did, the program in shambles, quote unquote.
Can you vacate a tattoo?
I think you can, but it still kind of lingers on. Like you can get it.
I think they have services that provide tattoo removal.
You can get it removed, but I don't think it ever goes back to the way it was before. So, do you care about vacating titles?
Well, so there's two things that I feel like I've reacted to personally when I've read this. One, no, I do not care. We all know who accepted the Heisman Trophy in 2005. We know who walked up on stage, accepted the trophy, who the Heisman voted for, and who won the award. We know. Every time that any of these wins are vacated, I'm willing to bet you that if I told you Alabama fans, tell me which seasons of wins were vacated over the last 30 years. I bet you that they wouldn't be able to tell you, because there's a handful of them where they had to give up a couple of wins here, a couple of wins there. Like, nobody cares. They all know what happened. You can never take away the fans' experience in the moment of that. Like, if it comes back that Auburn, we just get blatant, obvious evidence that Cam Newton was paid by Auburn and that he went to Auburn and they won the national championship based on all. Let's just say hypothetically that happens. Do you think Auburn fans, you're going to go to an Auburn fan and be like, hey, does that experience that you remember now when you came back on Alabama and Mark Ingram fumbled and you made the big comeback, like, do you now look back on that memory with less fondness? And Auburn fans going to be like, no, it was awesome. Do you think Louisville fans don't remember what it was like to beat Michigan and Spike Albrecht in that championship game?
Mm-hmm.
No, the memory's not going anywhere. And that's really what matters as a fan, is you've got the memory. Now, I feel bad for the kids on the team that don't get to claim it or whatever, but you think they're not claiming it with their buddies and groups for the rest of their lives? Of course they are. So I don't think it does anything. The other thing is, we have learned in this modern world of media that is dangerous right now, that they are just flat out denying everything. Like, they're just saying that the NCAA is wrong, the NCAA is wrong. They're just going to keep saying it until people believe it.
Yeah.
And it's not true. Like,
until they believe it themselves.
This was an FBI investigation.
Yeah.
This is not the NCAA. This is the FBI that says all of this stuff happened. You can't tell me that this didn't happen. So I hear you, Louisville. You're a little upset right now about this. But don't go to the podium at a press conference and say, we just believe that the NCAA is wrong, and just keep saying that over and over again, because it makes your Louisville fans feel better about themselves.
Well, it's
not real. It's not reality. Live in reality.
It's like Roger Clemens years ago with the PEDs and the steroids. He just adamantly denied, to the point where he almost believed that he really didn't do anything wrong.
Well, and if you're a diehard Roger Clemens fan, for example, you probably believe him. You're like, oh, I totally believe him. If you're a diehard Barry Bonds fan, you're like, Barry Bonds never did anything wrong. He was a Hall of Famer before he took steroids.
But
wait a second.
The other side of this equation.
Live in reality here.
Is we live in a world where sports, I think, for all of us, no, I can't say all of us, but for most of us, it's a big part of your life, but it's also an escape, it's entertainment. So at the end of the day, whether it's recruiting violations with Louisville, coaching scandals, PEDs, you name it across the board, I just want to be entertained by the product, and I want a winning franchise or a winning university. I don't care about this other stuff because they want it on the field. That's what they track. So you could take down a banner, but you're not going to take it out of my memory.
Right. It's the least. I think it's the least effective measure of punishment that the NCAA has. Is, oh, we're going to take away like 9 wins from you from 2000 and whenever. Like, I don't think it. Like, I don't. It doesn't deter more of the behavior. What deters more of the behavior is, now the problem is, it's not just the FBI scandal. It's this. It's also the whole, you know, the whole the strippers and all that stuff going on. Like, it was so much more than just this Adidas FBI thing. There's everything involved in this, and it all happened. It's all real. For them to come out and just deny it is silly, but that doesn't take it away from the fans. Like, the fans still, like, and the thing is, I've walked through the. I don't know if you guys have been to the Yum Center. I've gone to a bunch of games at the Yum Center, and they've got like a trophy case there where they've got their national championship trophies and some of their Final Four stuff. And, like, it won't be in that trophy room. And that sucks for the kids that want to walk in and see the championship that lived it. And that's not cool. But at the end of the day, you're going to take that away from a 9-year-old kid who watched his team win a Final Four championship and jumped up and down on the couch all night with his parents and, like, had a great time. Like, you think that kid's going to forget that when he's 30 years old? Of course not.
The only thing that bothers me about all of this, and this is really the only thing that kind of gets under my skin a little bit, is – when a coach leaves, like Rick Pitino, leaves the program in a mess, and if they are placed on probation or they can't go to the tournament or they can't make a bowl game in college football, somebody that had nothing to do with any of this takes a scholarship, goes to that program. Now, maybe he knows they're under sanctions, but he's punished for something he had nothing to do with.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's the only recourse the NCAA has. And we can get into this a little bit more after the break if we want to, but that's the case with everything. That's the case with every punishment the NCAA hands down. When you go on probation or you go on sanctions or you get a bowl, whatever, you know, you get bowl ban, like, it never hurts the people that actually did the crime. It only hurts the future athletes.
615-737-1025 is the number. 615-737-1025. The Honky Tonk Hat Trick brought to you by Bud Light is back tomorrow night. Join Nick Kale. Hey, that's me from 5 to 6:30 at Honky Tonk Central prior to the Predators showdown with the Sharks. While you're there, register for a pair of tickets to game and passes to the Bud Light Zone, or you may win a VIP hockey experience. Be sure to stop by Tootsie's, Rippies, and Honky Tonk Central before Predators weekday home games for specials on Bud Light. The VIP hockey experience is a pair of tickets to an upcoming game, dinner for two before the game, and a ride on the Zamboni during intermission. 615-737-1025. Does vacating titles mean anything to you in regards to the Louisville basketball scandal and that story and any of the teams that you've rooted for that has dealt with something like this? We'll talk about it. Stay there. Welcome back in the Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Kale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason coming up in a little bit. Chase McCabe. We are broadcasting live from the Ford Ice Center. Great to have you in on this Wednesday. 615-737-1025. So I got one of these quotes here regarding this Louisville story. Quote, I cannot say this strongly enough. We believe the NCAA is simply wrong. Postel said, we disagree with the NCAA ruling for reasons we clearly stated in our appeal, and we make a strong case based on NCAA precedent that supported our argument. We'll remove the official recognition, but it won't remove it, but we won't remove it from our hearts and our minds.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, but it's true. But it's really true, though.
It's cute.
Because if you're a fan of that program or you're an alum of that university, you're not going to really look back at these things and say, well, you know what, we won it, but technically it didn't count. No, it counted.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, like I said, like we talked about last segment, you can't remove, you can't take away people's memory. Like, I saw Reggie Bush walk up on stage, grab the Heisman Trophy, give a speech, and walk off stage. Like, I saw that happen with my own two eyes, so it happened. You can't take it away. It's just stupid. Like, yep. It's stupid. It's a very toothless penalty, in my opinion, and it doesn't really do much. I don't know. It's silly. You want to hurt these programs? Start taking away their television money. You want to start hurting football and basketball programs? Take away their TV money. That's how you really solve problems. Is hit them where it hurts, and that's the reason NFL players, when you get suspended, you lose a game check. This is every playing time and money. That is where you solve problems in sports.
615-737-1025. Let's say hello to Jeff, who's up next on Morning Drive. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Doing well.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment about what Braden said earlier about taking the banners down. If you take the banners down in 3 or 4 years, the kids forget what happened. Wouldn't it be better to make them leave the banners up with a great big V on it for vacated, like you used to have to wear that great big A for adulterer, or conversely make the coach that got in trouble take those banners with him to his new school, wherever he goes to work, and hang them up there so they can be reminded what they hired to work for them in the future, and I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I think Wikipedia handles that pretty well. I'm not sure about the Scarlet Letter reference there. Like, if we wanted everybody wearing A's on their chests around this country, we'd be really, really scared about what we would see. there'd be A's everywhere. Not condoning the behavior, just telling you how it is here, folks. But I don't know. Like, I don't think first of all, I will say this. The athletes, especially recruits, they don't care nearly as much about history as you think they do and as much as you do as a fan.
You know why that's true? We did the brand topic last week. How many powerhouse programs were like 20?
Yeah, well, and it's not –
they don't care about history.
Like, Terrell – like, Ohio State fans got so angry that Terrell Pryor sold his Big Ten championship ring. Oh, my God, Terrell Pryor, how could you do this? Terrell Pryor's like, my mom's mortgage needs to get paid, so I'm going to – sell the ring because I don't care about, like, you as an Ohio State fan care about Big Ten titles and banners. But, like, if you're a prospective student athlete, you could not care less if there's a banner hanging in the rafters or not. Like, you can't – let's say Malik Monk, name the years Kentucky won the national title. I bet you he couldn't do it. And it's not because he doesn't care or he's a bad guy. It's just he's worried about his team and his career and his job and his decision to go to college and, like – college kids are, like, in their own bubble. You know what I mean? They're in their own world. It's not – they can't – like, that's why Nebraska can't recruit right now in football, because nobody knows that they won a bunch of national titles in the 90s. These kids weren't born that they're recruiting right now.
I'll just tell you right now, if I was a college athlete and I was being recruited heavily by all the premier programs, whether it was basketball or football, you know what I would factor in? I would factor in weather. I would factor in
uniforms.
Uniforms.
Yeah.
Girls. I would factor in how quickly this coach can get me to the NFL or the NBA so I can get paid for me and my family.
What system is best for my skills?
Correct. Yeah. One of the last things I'm thinking about is what they did in 1972 or 1998.
Yeah,
I really don't care.
And one day, was it 2012, the national title, right, for Louisville? 2013. 1 year, 10 years from now, there'll be kids going to Louisville that couldn't tell you what year they played and the thing was vacated because they weren't alive for that. Like again, I go to Nebraska as a football example because they've been hurt the most by the modern recruiting era. Nebraska's not competing at a high level like it used to. Nebraska was a powerhouse in football for 30 or 40 years where they dominated. Tom Osborne won national titles. Every kid that is now signing with Scott Frost to go to Nebraska has not watched Tommy Frazier play. That was more than 20 years ago. So that's the issue. Like, you have to show them tape of Tommy Frazier and be like, watch this run against the Florida Gators. And then the kid goes, oh, my God, Tommy Frazier, that dude's a beast. But, like, he didn't grow up watching him, so they don't know this stuff. The recruits don't know this stuff, and the young student-athletes don't know this stuff the way the fans do. It's just always been like that, and I don't think fans like to hear that, but it is true.
615-737-1025. Let's say good morning to Catfish Jake, who's in Nolensville, up next on The Game. What's up, Jake?
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I just wanted to weigh in, especially as a Bama fan who went through the Gene Jelks taking away the wins of Jay Barker's era. That doesn't mean anything. The games were played on the field, but they did prove when they hit Alabama back then with the scholarship restrictions that taking money away and taking scholarships away can have an effect. Those are most effective things because the scholarships being taken away for Bama was one of the reasons we were down for a good while. And if they do that, it might make these people think twice. But like you said, Braden, I mean, if you just take away, vacate wins, they're like, whatever, we won on the court anyway. I mean, I had a few friends that tried to call me back then and were like, oh, look, we got a win. We got our win. It's like, well, you know who won on the field. That doesn't hold any water. It's just ignorance.
Yeah.
No, you're right, Catfish. And scholarships is another great point. If you take 10 scholarships away for a football program.
Depth.
I mean, that's where Alabama beats you normally. That's where the best teams, Georgia and Ohio State and Clemson and all these great college football teams, where they beat you is the two deep. That's where they beat you is they can roll out a guy after a guy gets hurt that's just as good as a starter, and you got nobody as a backup. And that's the difference between the haves and the have-nots in college football. So I totally agree. Scholarships, money, that's where you hurt universities. You take away a few, you know, titles, like, you know, here's a Big Ten title we took away, or here's an ACC title we took away, or here's a playoff, here's a Sweet 16 banner you can't hang. Like, who cares? Like, it's not going to do any damage. It's not going to stop somebody from paying $100,000 for a player to come to a university, or, you know, have girls on campus for recruiting visits. Oh, my God, that's been happening for 100 years. It's not going to stop that behavior.
Yeah, and I remember vividly when Stallings won the national title in 92-93 against Miami, and then 93 and 94, they were really good, and then they got their restrictions, and kind of the end of the Gene Stallings era going into Mike DeBose. I mean, they were a 7-5 team with guys like Sean Alexander.
Clemson, do you think Clemson fans don't look back on the 81 championship and aren't like, yeah, we got one? Like, of course they did. They went on probation because Danny Ford cheated to get the national title. But guess what? It still happened. I don't think you can vacate anything in the professional ranks. Like, I don't know how the NHL would ever vacate anything. But let's just say hypothetically, like, every player for the Predators was ineligible last year. They take away the Western Conference banner. Okay, so the banner comes down. Guess what? Does anyone forget what happened on Broadway last year? No.
No.
We all remember exactly what it felt like to walk around on Broadway after beating Anaheim in game six and party until 3 in the morning and then try to come in and do a radio show the next morning.
Yeah.
It was very hard. I'm never going to forget that.
615-737-1025. If you want to get in on the conversation with Louisville and the vacating of titles and taking down banners. But when we come back, speaking of Louisville, is Lamar Jackson an option for the Titans in the first round?
Like,
we'll get into that next. It's Morning Drive. Nick Kale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason coming up shortly. We're broadcasting live from the Ford Ice Center on ESPN 102.5 The Game.